Welcome to On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah, a podcast presented by ReformJudaism.org. Every week, Rabbi Rick Jacobs, president of the Union for Reform Judaism, shares a new spin on the weekly Torah portion in 10 minutes or less. Some weeks he'll be joined by a special guest, and some weeks he'll just share his own perspective. On the Other Hand always provides a modern take on over 2,000 years of Jewish wisdom. This week, episode 58, Rabbi Jacobs teaches about Parshat Truma. He wonders what you have built with your whole heart, and what is the nature of generosity?
This week we focus our attention on Parshat Truma. It's a section of the book of Exodus that begins a whole exploration of the creation of the first praying place in our Jewish tradition. It's a portable praying place, and it is not a place that is created with extravagant gifts. The opening of the Parshat asks the people to bring forward truma, to bring forward gifts, offerings of their heart, free will offerings, and from that material, the sacred space will be created. So it awakens that question of how is it that a building project could work that way, that people could bring just voluntary offerings? There wouldn't be all these complicated philanthropy and development schemes, that people somehow would hear about what was being done and say, I want to be part of it. I want to contribute my funds. So it actually presumes a sense that we can actually ask people and they will freely and lovingly and generously give of themselves. So it makes me wonder out loud with all of you today, what is the nature of that generosity? Adam Grant has this great book, this professor at Wharton. It's called Give and Take. And he has a notion that there are people who are givers, there are people who are takers, and there are people who are matchers. So people who are givers, you know those people. You have those people in your life. I do too. They just give and give. They never ask, what are they going to get for it? It's not instrumental. It's not to help them achieve something personal. It's just that they want to do good, and they do it endlessly. Then there are the takers. I don't know. I look around the world. I got no shortage of takers. These are the people who every day wake up and say, that I like that. I need that. And they're always, always taking from and acquiring and making it theirs. Then there are the matchers. Those are the less clear, because the matchers are saying, well, I'll give if you give, right? I'll give if I get. It's not like the takers, because they are giving. But what makes someone a giver? And are you born that way? Are you raised and taught to be a giver? And just raises some of these questions about not just philanthropy, but people who give from their heart. Amazingly, they've done studies about not just the Jewish community, but givers of all types. It turns out poor people give a higher percentage of their income to charity, to tzedakah, than people who make a lot. Now you could say, well, it's the percentage, but there's something about, I think, the psychology of that person who doesn't have much and doesn't earn much, but they also know what it feels like to be without. They remember. They can't just theoretically say, well, what would it be like if I didn't have enough for my lunch? Well, what would it be if I was short for my rent or for some of the key things? So I wonder for all of us, how do we up the generosity quotient of our lives? How do we do that? I think there are all kinds of things. I think Parshat Truma reminds us that that is part of what it means to be a person of faith, to be a person of generosity, to be a person who gives and doesn't just say, what's in it for me? So it is a practice. It can't be taught. So I'm going to tell you a story about Reb Shmelke, one of my favorite Hasidic stories. A story I may have told you before, but it's just so good. So Reb Shmelke was this guy, he just always gave. He was not a taker, he wasn't a matcher. He was just a pure and simple giver. So one day he's home, and there's a knock on the door, and he opens the door, and there's a poor person there, and his heart is just like on fire with empathy, and he's like, well, what do you need? He says, well, I need some money. So Reb Shmelke says, just wait here. And he goes and he knows that his wife has tucked away a ring in a drawer in their house. So he goes and he takes the ring and he gives it to the beggar. Beggar goes off. Well, Reb Shmelki's wife does come home and she does notice that the ring is missing. And she comes running into him and he's studying, you know, some sacred text. He's busy in his holy work. And she says, "What did you do? Where's that ring?" He said, "Well, you know, there was a beggar who came this morning and I couldn't turn him away without anything, so I gave him that ring." And she said, "Well, go find him. That's a very, very valuable ring." He said, oh. And he runs out the door. And he chases down and finds, after hours, he finds the beggar. He's out of breath. He says, "You know that ring I gave you? It's very, very valuable. Make sure when you sell it to get a fair price." And then he went home. Well, I don't think we need to speculate what his wife said when he got home. But here, of course, she sent him out to get the ring back. He wasn't going to do that. He was, at the cost maybe of his own well-being, maybe even the cost of some relationships in his life, he was taught and he learned and he practiced a life of giving. I think about some of the people, a rabbi who, over the many years of my rabbinate, would officiate at funerals. And, you know, how many times, you know, when you're remembering someone's life and you say, what are the qualities that really define so-and-so? And the quality that oftentimes rises to the very top is so-and-so was the person who was that giver in that family, not just financially, but love and support and wisdom. So Parashat Truma, what are we giving? How much are we giving? What is the expectation that we have when we give? And what do we do in a world where it seems like there are more takers and more matchers than givers? Does that mean we ought to just get with the program and stop with the giving? And you know what? You know, we can learn something from the current reality and become more like takers or more like matchers. I think what it means to be a person of faith, a person of deep spiritual practice, is that it's got to be possible to be a giver, even if you're one of the few givers. It's got to be that we teach that we model that. And I think our Torah portion comes at a time of the year and in the midst of a big, exciting project where the givers are not just encouraged, it's expected, because there isn't anything other than the offering of one's heart that builds this first praying place in the Jewish community. And I wonder, what would our communities look like if we were more populated by givers than by takers or by matchers? What would our congregations look like? What would our communities look like? Not just our buildings, but the very heart of what we're about. So if Reb Shmelke can just echo in your ear, and Parashat Truma can be a wonderful model, that our hearts, they need to open up. We've spent the earlier part of the book of Exodus talking about Pharaoh's heart that hardens, makes him cruel, at times just callous. And then we have Parashat Truma, which says, open those hearts. Let those hearts lead you. And let a life of giving be what we are about, what we teach our children and our grandchildren, what we model for generations to come. So I don't know about you, but this conversation certainly makes me want to think about what I'm going to do today, what I'm going to give. It makes me want to be less focused on what I'm going to get for my giving. We think about all those wonderful institutions that have those walls with all of those names, and God bless anyone who gives for any reason, and we need the matchers. But let's keep ascending the ladder, because the Jewish tradition believes that giving is something we can do at many levels. So wherever you are on that ladder of giving, let's see if we can't get up a rung or two. And as a Jewish community, boy, I'd love to see lots of us higher up on that ladder, thinking what we could shape, what we could give to, what we could make possible. So Parashat Truma asks us to bring those gifts, and I encourage all of us in the ways that just quietly change an individual's life, like the man who knocked on Reb Shmelke's door, or the communities that literally are dependent on our generosity, not only of spirit, but our generosity of heart. So there's a lot of holy work to do. It starts with each one of us. And when they stand up and talk about our lives, will they say that each of us was a taker, a matcher? Maybe, 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 if we do this right, they will remember us as a giver.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah. Want more? Download a new episode each Monday on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like what you hear, write us a review or share the podcast with a friend. For daily ongoing conversations about Jewish holidays, pop culture, current events, and more, visit reformjudaism.org and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. You can also follow Rabbi Jacobs on Twitter at @urjpresident. On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah is a project of the Union for Reform Judaism, a leading voice in the discussion of modern Jewish life. Until next week, Lehitraot.